Power of Men of Iron podcast. Welcome. I'm Scott Davis from Tampa Bay, Florida, and this is Travis Albanicious.
It's April 8th, Scott.
It's April 8th. April, what does that 8th. Mean, Travis?
Well, it means the trout season. Yeah. Do you get any rainbow trout down there?
Tax season.
Yeah. A week away.
You're going to be trout fishing and the tax man's coming.
Oh, imagine that. Hopefully you got your taxes done early. If you didn't, got just a few
days.
You're
behind the eight ball.
Yeah,
because we're in the money series.
How did that all line up so perfectly?
Deep in it.
Yeah, so let's talk about it, Scott. This week is a man and his money.
Last week we talked about the Bible. And money.
Learned
a lot.
And one of the questions we asked was this, and I'm going to ask it to you right now, Scott.
I'm scared.
Is it really his money? Is it a man's money?
Wow.
Is the man's money really his?
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about this last week, and we kind of hinted and played around with ownership versus stewardship, I guess you could say. And do we really own the money?
Yeah.
Or is it someone else's?
Yeah.
Do we just steward the money and the resources? That's the question, right?
That's the question.
So is it really his money? So every man has to wrestle with this, I think. And Travis, I know that you've probably wrestled with it. When I thought about this, I thought about a funny story. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
My former pastor, Kevin Myers, at 12 Stone Church in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He used to tell this every year because he would preach about money pretty much once a year, but he would tell this story. And it's a story about, of all things, Skittles.
Like Skittles.
So he had four kids, the youngest of which at the time was five. And his name's Jaden. He took Jaden to the movies, and they're sitting there in the movies. He had bought him this nice big container of Skittles, which he loved. And they're starting to watch the movie, and Jaden's popping them in his mouth, just eating them. And Kevin's watching the movie. He reaches over into the Skittles and gets him a little handful. And this kid, he just lets out this biggest scream. Mine! He just screams. He said it's so loud. You can hear it way over the movie. And everybody in the theater just kind of looks over there like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he said at that moment, it just went all over him. He just like fire up his spine. Like, are you kidding me, kid? I bought these Skittles. Matter of fact, I could buy enough Skittles to fill the bathtub and sit in it if I wanted to. You know, and thinking about that, he said, what's this kid thinking? Those aren't yours. They're just yours because I let you have them. That's all. I bought them for you.
Yeah.
And so if we think about that, is it that the way that God looks at us sometimes when we're like, mine, this is my paycheck.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend it how I want. Well, there's a story, believe it or not, in the Bible.
Well, real quick, I just got to say, I love the story because I can relate to that.
You like Skittles.
Yeah. And just with my kids. I mean, I think it's so applicable.
Yeah.
To this idea where, you know, I buy them something that's delicious and I know it's delicious.
Yeah.
Whether it's even like, you know, nachos and cheese.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, she'll give me a couple of those, you know? So like I'll buy them for her.
Yep.
And then, yeah, you think, hey, can I have a nacho? No.
No.
Go buy your own. Like, right. What are you talking about? I just want one.
Right.
No.
Well, it's like that with kids and everything, right? Even between each other, they're fighting over the toy. Like, that's mine. As soon as they're not even playing with it.
Yeah.
And their sibling picks it up and then all of a sudden just screams out.
Yeah.
That's mine. Well, listen, in Matthew 25, there's a story about a servant. Some servants and the master, he goes off on a trip and he gives them each some money, actually bags of gold. It's called the parable of the talents or the parable of gold. And this one guy, he gives five bags, and to another guy, he gives two, and to another guy, he gives one. And if you ever read the story before, the master goes off to do business, and when he comes back, he wants to know what they did with this money, this gold. And the funny thing is, the guy who had the five bags, listen to what the Bible says. This is so interesting to me. In verse 18 or 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five to him and said, Master, you have entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. So he invested, right?
Yep.
That money. He stewarded it well. The next guy had the two, and he did the same thing. And the guy who had one, he goes out and digs a hole and buries it because he's afraid that he's going to lose it if he's real timid with it, right? He don't want to invest it or do anything with it.
Yeah.
But the master comes to the guy who had five and the guy who had two, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. And I think the key words in this whole passage is, you entrusted me with the guy with the five bags and the guy with the two bags. That's what they say. You've entrusted me with something that's yours. And so they wanted to do well with it. They wanted to steward it well. And the end of the story, they end up getting more given to them for investing and stewarding well.
Yeah.
And so they end up with an abundance. He says, for whoever will be given more, they will have an abundance. Whereas the guy who hid, we don't even want to talk about what happened to him. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't good. What happens?
I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah.
But it's so good because it ties into the story, the question we asked last week. Like,
sure.
You know, the guy who you entrust your money to, if you called him up right now and said, hey, how's my money doing?
Right, you're right.
And he told you, oh, it's actually all in cash. Right.
Yeah.
Like I buried it basically.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. It's just an interesting thing where, like, would you be happy about that? I don't know. Or whatever you give him, is he taking it and placing wise investments, you know, to help you grow the money? And I think it's one thing about money, but I think it's true for all of our skills, our abilities, our talents.
Sure.
Like, God doesn't give us what he's given us so that we can bury it. He's given it to us to take it and multiply it.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's so many ways to do that. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about that, about tithes, gifts, offerings, all those words that are in the Bible. What do they mean? And what they mean to a believer? When you put in Christ first place in your heart, those words are actually, they have a lot of meaning, a lot of good meaning. And it made me think about even this thing about stewardship. When we pray, let's take, for instance, even when we pray over our food at a meal, we say, thank you, God, for this food, this meal that you provided. Well, Lori and I, my wife, we had started several years ago. It just kind of dawned on us one day, you know, he's the one that supplied the money for us to even buy this food.
Yeah.
So we'll say, God, thank you for providing us with jobs that give us the money to be able to have this food. I mean, it takes it to another level, I think.
And it's simple. As a man,
simple.
Let's get practical just for a second. As a man, are you leading your family in prayer before a meal?
Right. That's a good question.
I mean, that's the starting point. A lot of us say, like, I used to work in student ministry, and I would say to kids, hey, do your parents ever pray with you? Oh, yeah, before every meal.
Right.
And it'd be quick to say, like, oh, I can't believe they don't pray more. Right? Like, they don't pray with you before bed. They don't pray with you. Like,
right.
No, just when we eat. Well, you know what? That's a win.
Yeah.
So I would just say, as men, like, that's one way, right?
Sure.
Let's thank God for the resources that he's blessing us with, because it's simple, but it's powerful.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an acknowledgement, right?
Yeah.
Of it's not ours.
Yeah.
Or it didn't come from us. God provided for us. And that's the point we have to get to. We talked about that last week. Putting God on the throne of our heart and knowing that he is the supplier. He is the source that gives us all things. So that makes me think about another question. You hear this a lot in...
Well, can I ask a question?
In the world.
Let me
sure.
ask
you. Why don't you ask me a question?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question. Because we talk about how to use our money well.
Yeah.
But there's also this idea that... So money in an instance can be a really good thing.
Sure.
Right. And we see that because God allows us to use it to provide for families. But you also hear the saying that money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Right. And so how does money become evil? Is money really the root of all evil? How would you answer that question?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
But you do hear that a lot, but it's the answer to that is no. Money is not the root of all evil. Now, I mean, this is in the Bible, scripture, 1 Timothy 6. But it again, it's a heart issue. The real question is, who or what do you love? That's what we need to get down to. Because in 1 Timothy, it says, those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction.
Yeah. Been there.
I've been there too. We talked about that a little bit last week.
Yeah.
The next verse, listen to this. For the love of money, it's the love of money. It has grabbed your heart. It's what you love. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from their faith, pierced themselves with many griefs. Then he gives, Paul's talking to Timothy here. He says, but you, man of God, flee from all of this. Run from it. Run from this love for money and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. So we said that last week, right? It goes back to faith.
Yeah.
And what do you love?
And what do you look at? What is love, right? Yeah. Something you give time, energy, attention to.
Yep.
And I just know for me, this is, and we said it, but this is one that, you know, I've been hit by. I have, in a sense, wandered from the faith.
Yeah.
I've been pierced because I've put my eyes on money, right, as a priority.
Right.
And I shouldn't be. And that's why I love this, is flee from all of this.
Flee. Yeah.
And so I would say, even if you're listening to this, I'm speaking to myself, but God's speaking to us and saying, if you're struggling right now in your marriage because your eyes aren't on your marriage, but they're on something else.
Right.
Flee.
Yeah. And then he says, not only run from it, what does he say to do? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. I mean, I think that's where we get off track is we start loving something else, in this case, the money.
Mm-hmm.
We get off track of our faith, and then we're all messed up. I mean, it tells us right here what that leads to is destruction and ruin.
Yeah.
So going back to our faith in all categories, but especially in this thing about money, because I think you mentioned Jesus talked about money a lot. Yeah. He knew this was going to be a problem. So
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And we're coming down the home stretch. I want to land this here.
Yeah.
But okay, if we're talking through all these things, okay, that money can be a good thing.
Right.
The love of money can be a bad thing.
Right.
But here's the next question is, how should a man actually use his money? What's the first step? Let's like practically.
Yeah.
What are some things that, because we're going to talk about marriage and money. We're going to talk about kids and money.
Yeah.
So before we get to bringing our wife into this, or because she's probably already in this. Okay. But like what, as a man, what's one of the first things? How do I put God first?
Yeah.
When it comes to my money?
Man, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to share a story maybe next week or the following about this, but the tithe, the 10% tithe that the Bible talks about. I know a lot of guys have a problem with this, and I go, that's too strict. That's too rigid. That's Old Testament. There's all kind of excuses for not doing it. But I feel like it goes back to the first issue. If you start making excuses about things like this, then you have to check and see who's really first place in your heart. But the tithe is a thing. I mean, the Bible says that 10% is to be given back. And I know there's several scriptures on that to save time, but it also talks about giving generously from the heart. Some verses even say, you know, to be hilarious givers.
Yeah.
And to be to the point that it's not an idol to you, that you can give it so joyfully, you almost laugh, you know, like, this is great. Look what I get to do.
Yep.
Instead of, oh God, look what I have to do.
Before you get past it though, like, because you move past the tithe pretty quick.
Yeah.
And like, I just want to spend a second on the tithe. And I've been challenged on this recently. It's a journey that I've been on. Yeah, okay, it's Old Testament. People say, oh, it's Old Testament.
Yeah.
But there's this idea that, yeah, maybe it's Old Testament. It is New Testament, too.
It is the New Testament.
But let me just read the Old Testament passage, because it's in Malachi 3, you know.
Good.
And you probably heard your pastor talk about this. I don't know. But he probably talks about it because it's powerful. You know, that there's a struggle going on, and it just, they're trying to figure out like why is God mad at us?
Right.
Or why aren't things going the way that they should be going? And it says right here, Malachi 3, it says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. How are we robbing you, right? Well, you need to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there won't be room enough to store it.
Yeah.
It'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. Vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty.
That's powerful.
That's powerful. Yeah. And okay, so it's one area that God says, put me to the test.
Yeah.
And I've heard somebody say that actually a tithe that actually isn't even a generosity.
Right.
Tithe is just returning back the 10% that God has given you.
Right. Because you're not actually even given a tithe because it was never yours in the first place. So you're returning what God said, he requires us to bring. So
yeah. And
that's
so
important.
It's important. I just want to hit the New Testament verse too.
I know.
Do you have that? Or can you want
go
me to
ahead.
Read it?
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. The New Testament verse, because people say it's Old Testament. No, Jesus talks about this.
He
he does in Matthew 23. He says, and he's speaking to Pharisees.
Yeah.
And here's what he says. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices. You tithe. You give mint, dill, cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness.
Yeah.
You should have practiced the later, which means, you should practice justice, mercy, and faithfulness, but you should not neglect the former.
Right.
So Jesus is telling them, like, you need to practice these things, right? But you should also be bringing to the storehouse, returning to God, the 10% that is God's. And it's a powerful statement.
That's good.
But it's something that we need to remember. It's not just an Old Testament thing. It's a New Testament thing, too.
You know, to me, it's all about a question of, and then you get into guys say, well, do I tithe on the net? Do I tithe on the gross?
Oh, man.
It's like, let's go a little deeper on it.
Yeah.
My answer to that question is, well, how much do you want to be blessed? Yeah. I mean, there's a starting point, and if that little bit of difference makes such a difference in you, my thing is just do it.
Yeah.
Be obedient. Hey, God said, test me.
Yeah.
So will we even test him?
So hold on. All right. Because we have to wrap up.
I
do want to I'll say the blessing, just to be real clear, is not necessarily a financial blessing.
Right, right.
Right. It's a faith blessing.
Right.
And so it's like, can I trust? He's asking me to do it. He says, test me on this. What if we as men actually trusted? What if all of us actually said, you know what, we're going to test.
Yeah.
And imagine like the way that our churches could be different if all of us actually put this in practice.
That's so good. You know, to me, the test, of course, and the blessing is a faith blessing to see what's on your heart.
Yeah.
What do you love? Because when you do that, he rewards that. That's the blessing.
It's the blessing.
You see that he is the source.
Yeah. If we don't do it, we won't experience the blessing.
That's crazy.
All right. Well, hey, listen, we have to wrap up. You had one sentence, a closing sentence to give us, Scott, on a man and his money, what would it be?
Oh, man.
You only get one sentence. Come
just
on.
One
man.
Sentence?
One sentence.
Just do it.
Just do it.
I mean, I hate to go with that because Nike, but I mean, still
Nike,
you just got to do it, man. You just got to be obedient.
Yeah.
Be
what
obedient,
if we all did
try
it? What if we
him.
All did it? Let's do it together.
Let's do it.
I'm talking to you and me.
I know.
Yeah.
Be
intentional. I love it. All right. Hey guys, we're praying for you on this one. Cause this is an interesting, interesting conversation.
It gets deeper next week.
So. All right, here we go. Scott, I love you, man.
Love you, man.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Men of Iron podcast. If you enjoyed that episode, you can go to our website, menofiron.org. You can also like that episode. You can ring the notification bell, or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. But again, thanks for listening to the Men of Iron podcast.